This is the MLW Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm as always Trigger, and he is as always Dylan Harris. Dylan, how are things going?
That's my name, Trigger. Yes. And it's a beautiful day here in Tennessee, as you always say. It's just past noon as we record here, probably a lot later in Germany.
Yes.
I may be wrong, but I think our time zones are slightly different.
Slightly.
But I'm really excited about this week's episode. It's a special episode. We usually do them once every 2 weeks. This week we're getting them out real quick, so I'm really happy about that. Really happy to talk about all the stuff we couldn't get to last week, or it would have been it would have been as long as one of the shows we'll be talking about.
Yes. Yeah, it has been a beautiful day in Germany too. Day is almost done, but I really look forward to talking about the grabs with you. It has been a good day for me. Went to school, came home, did a little bit of cardio, cooked some dinner, and now I'm here sitting on the couch talking wrestling with you. And Dylan, why don't we start with the very topical stuff, as we are recording this on March 30, and Big Japan Pro Wrestling ran a show today in Kuroken Hall. They sold out the place. Even they even got more fans into the place than they did last time they had a sellout, when Suzuki and Sekimoto had their match at the beginning of the month, which we talked about in our last episode. Big Japan drew 1,580 fans to Kuroken Hall. And for this show today, with the rematch of Suzuki and Sekimoto, they did 1,607 fans. Jam-packed place. The pictures that you get from Kuroken Hall, they look amazing. And there recently was a tweet from the user Paul, POL Wrestling. He said that Big Japan, I don't have the tweet right in front of me, but I guess Big Japan is the only promotion of the promotions beneath New Japan Pro Wrestling and that has reached growth in Kuroken Hall within the last 2 years. So, things are looking very good for Big Japan Pro Wrestling, and the show they had today looked awesome, and it's time, Dylan, it's time to wear purple again, as Hideki Suzuki getting purple streamers, wearing purple tights, won the Big Japan Strong World Heavyweight Championship in the main event of Kuroken Hall in 19 minutes and 27 seconds with his double arm suplex, or as I like to call it, the Billy Robinson special.
Yes, exactly, the purple tights as well, a tribute to Billy Robinson. There, he comes out to the theme music, everything is trainer, obviously. I'm so happy with this. I predicted this, actually, last month when we spoke about the Champions Carnival, that with Sekimoto being in the carnival, I thought it would be a perfect time for Suzuki to win the title. I thought it would be at the beginning of the month, but they did a great thing with their match last as we talked about last week, and there's no reason to doubt that this match will be equally as awesome. But as far as the attendance rising, I think it's a great thing. I think it really says a lot about Big Japan, and they're doing a lot of things right, not only here, but in the deathmatch division, as we saw. They're starting to work together with Freedoms more. I'm sure we'll talk about a big win on this show. But I also think Hideki is proving himself to be an asset on the top. These are really, really strong numbers, even for Big Japan, that we've had in his last two title challenges. And I'm going to be very interested to see where his first defense and how that will do. Because I think Hideki is right on course to be an MVP candidate in all of Japanese pro wrestling this year. And I think he's just, I've said it a million times before, I don't want to be too redundant, but the dude is just an amazing wrestler and an amazing talent, just great at everything. I can't wait to see this match.
Yeah, he's a great piece of talent just in every imaginable way. He promotes himself very well on social media. If you're part of the classic Japanese pro wrestling group, he's part of that. He frequently posts something on Facebook, on his Twitter. Sometimes he replies in English too. So he's a very relatable guy, I'd say.
Former mailman.
Yeah. That's amazing,
Hey, I've talked to him a couple of times on Twitter, actually. He's responded to me, usually saying, hey, what's up, and things of that nature, and once telling me that he would not fight Conor McGregor when I asked him to fight him. So, that could have been him, Conor versus Hideki. That could have been the multi-million dollar fight, if I had my way, but he wasn't up for it, unfortunately.
Boxing versus pro wrestling.
Yes, boxing versus pro wrestling. It's never been done before.
No, let's do this. First time ever. you, Dylan, you just brought up the Champion Carnival, and there is actually a tie-in here, as there was a six-man tag match on the show today with Daichi Hashimoto, Ryota Hama, and Hideyoshi Kamitani defeating Twin Towers of Kohei Sato and Shuji Ishikawa and Yuji Okabayashi when Daichi Hashimoto got the pinfall over Yuji Okabayashi with the Rising DDT. Which is very, very newsworthy with Daichi Hashimoto heading to the Champion Carnival.
Yeah, I think it's great that he's getting, you know, more promotion. And like we talked about, we went over this a few episodes back about the Champion Carnival, but I think he's poised. If he wants it enough and he shows up enough, he could really have a breakout in the Carnival. And I think it's big that he pins Okabayashi as well. I think that signals good things for him and BJW too going forward.
Yeah, definitely. And you already mentioned the deathmatch tournament as well. The Ikitosen Deathmatch Survivor. The block matches came to an end at today's show with three matches. First match of that was the match between the Freedoms guys. Isami Kodaka beat Takumi Tsukamoto in a Tenshiyo Kurao Giga Ladder Deathmatch. Tenshiyo Kurao translates to something like Eat Up Heaven and Earth. When Isami Kodaka used a move that was described as Astro Scissors from the Giga Ladder. So, wonder how that looks like.
I think that move is like he's on his knees on the dude's shoulders and then comes off with a head scissors.
I don't know.
That's Super Astro's move.
Okay. Okay. Maybe.
I think that should be it. Maybe it's something completely new that we've never seen before from the mind of Isami Kodaka. There's a move called the Astrosis, Super Astro.
Okay. Usage. In a Four Corners of Pain deathmatch, Kenji Fukimoto of Freedoms beat Ruji Ito, the Big Japan, the main deathmatch player of Big Japan Pro Wrestling, the franchise of Big Japan Pro Wrestling, so to speak, with a package pile driver onto a gadget crossboard. And you already mentioned that one as well, a Freedoms wrestler. Freedoms is a promotion that that also does deathmatches, so they are running in direct competition to Big Japan Pro Wrestling. And there is also the tie-in with Jun Kasai, who for some time he was working Freedoms and Big Japan Pro Wrestling simultaneously, but his last Big Japan match was in 2014, and he chose to not work for Big Japan anymore, but to concentrate on Freedoms. And Freedoms and Big Japan really didn't work together very much, but right now things are seemingly are getting easier with both sides, and with a guy from Freedoms getting a pinfall over the Big Japan Deathmatch wrestler. That is a very, very big deal, and that's telling you that they really are serious about getting a working relationship.
I think it's a great thing because Big Japan was in need of new deathmatch guys, younger guys, you know? And now we can get some of them, and not only working with the Freedoms guys, like we mentioned earlier, the Basara guys, like Kodaka and Tsukamoto. I think Big Japan's really showing a lot of flexibility in who they work for, and I'm sure we'll get to that a little later too, and all sorts of companies at this point. You know, I'm really impressed, really up and down, not just their wrestling, but how they're promoting and how they're doing business-wise. I think Big Japan is really on a huge an upswing in momentum right now. I'm really impressed by what they're doing, and this is just another great example of it. To give this Freedoms guy, give a Freedoms guy a win over Ito, like we said, the Deathmatch Dragon, he's been the ace of the deathmatch division since I started watching it, you know, 10 years ago or whatever.
He and Daisuke Sakimoto both debuted in 1999, and while Sakimoto became the ace of the strong Big Japan guys, Ryuji Ito is the ace of the deathmatch wrestlers, and yeah, it's really a big win for Kenji Fukimoto, who is, as we mentioned it, legitimately scary and crazy. He used in this match today with Ryuji Ito, I saw some pictures that I didn't retweet because I figured I still have some normal people on my Twitter timeline. And if they see a guy getting a fish hook into the mouth of the other guy, that just doesn't come across that well.
No, you'll have a hard time explaining that.
You
can't just say, it's wrestling, guys.
And a last match, we had then Black Angel Yaki Numasawa beating Masashi Takeda, which leads us to the final standings in the blocks. Isami Kodaka and Kenji Fukimoto won block A, while Masaya Takahashi, with 8 points, won block B, and Yaki Numasawa is second place in block B. And there is a card for the show in Hokkaido on April 8th. In the Suzukino Mars Gymnasium, where they also did the Ikitosen Strong Climb finals last year. Semifinals of the Ikitosen Deathmatch Survivor, Isami Kodaka versus Yaki Numasawa, and Masaya Takahashi versus Kenji Fukimoto. Those also going to wrestle the finals on that show. There's going to be another tag match, supposedly, with the dropouts of the Deathmatch Survivor. And then there are 4 other matches announced. Ryota Hama and Katsumi Kikuta versus Yasufumi Nakanoe and Yuya Aoki, the newest rookie in Big Japan. Abdullah Kobayashi teaming with Speed of Sounds, Tsutomu Ozuki and Hercules Zenger against the Brahman Brothers and Tatsuhiko Yoshino. And then, 2 great matches. The Wild Network is back together in Big Japan as well with Ryuichi Kawakami and Manabu Zoya teaming against Daichi Hashimoto and Hideyoshi Kamitani. And a 6-man tag match, Daisuke Sakimoto, Yuji Kobayashi, and Katsuki Hashimoto versus Hideki Suzuki, Yoshi Zauto, and Takuya Nomura. The good Suzuki-gun.
Yes, definitely the best Suzuki-gun going around. I also want to mention briefly that I think Kawakami is on a really good upswing as well, in addition to the company. I think he could be someone that they could build to a match with Suzuki for a bigger match down the line.
Yes, definitely. We talked about him in Basara, where he is very charismatic, and he won their championship recently, the Union Pro Max Championship.
Yeah, see, good working relationship between Basara and BJW on both sides right there.
Yes, that is definitely true. That's about it for Big Japan Pro Wrestling, I think.
Great company.
Great company. Looking forward to seeing that show that occurred today in Kuroken Hall. People who were there said it was very good. And so that's going to be something we are going to talk about in the future. And something that is happening on the same weekend as Big Japan is having their show in Hokkaido, there is a show promoted by the man named Fumihiko Uwai. We talked about him when we had our Big Mouth Loud special.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. If you didn't listen to that, go back and listen to it and watch the Big Mouth Loud stuff. Fumihiko Uwai is producing another show of his project Strong Style History. This one is called just Strong Style History Volume 2. And this is a crazy card. I don't know if you read that. I just tweeted that out yesterday. We have, in the first 2 matches, Takako Fuke is working 2 times. One time against a guy named Tsuchiya Crazy, and one time against a guy called Jade. It's not the women's wrestler, it's a dude called Jade, I don't know. Him, another match from the indies, from the micro-indies, Shuichiro Katsumura against Koji Fujinaga. And then, we have an appearance of Zugi. He's wrestling Brother Yashi. 5th match of the card is Shinjiro Otani wrestling Hidetaka Monma. a former, I think he's a former K1 kickboxer, if I'm not mistaken right now. Let me quickly look that up. Yeah,
Is he on Cage Match?
Oh, no, he's not in Cage Match, but he has a profile on Sherdog.
Oh, okay.
He is on Cage Match. I'm sorry. Of course he's on Cage Match.
I knew it.
Hidetaka Monma. He is... he has... What is that? Is that kickboxing? Is that MMA? No, he has 18 wins and 11 losses in mixed martial arts, has been working for K1 Heroes, has been working for Dream, has been working for Deep, and now he is becoming a pro wrestler, it seems. Has been working for Rings, actually, in 2001. Pancrase 2, so all around the place, and now he's wrestling Shinjiro Otani for Fumiaki Uwai's new group. But it still gets crazier. In a Masa Saito produced match, we have Masaki Tamiya wrestling Black Tiger 5. Semi-main event.
We need more Black Tiger.
Yes. In a UWF rules match, Minoru Tanaka wrestles Seichi Ikemoto. Ikemoto is, I think, another former mixed martial artist from Japan too. 21 wins and 19 losses. Also competed for companies like Deep, Dream, Pride. Also Shuto, all those groups.
What I want to know is, will this be true UWF rules? Will there be a point system in place? That's what I want.
I certainly hope so. And I think with Fumiaki Uwai producing the show, he's going to be very serious about the rule system.
Yeah.
But, Dylan, this one is for you. The next match, the main event.
I know what this is.
The main event of that show, Koji Kanemoto and Kagetsu, mm-hmm, teaming against Michiko Omukai and Akihiko Mori.
Kanemoto and Kagetsu is the key.
Yes!
I love it. That is what I want to see. You cannot get more strong style than those two.
Yeah, and Michiko Omukai returning for one night, almost... Yeah, just a decade after she retired.
Yeah, I was about to say, she's been retired for a long time now.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yep.
That's something.
Could not stay away from strong style history.
Uh-huh.
I think that it's going to be a true hoot and a great match. Is this airing anywhere?
I don't know. The last one, I think we talked about what happened after the main event of the last show, because that was uploaded to YouTube. With Masa Saito fighting against the unknown masked man who turned out to be Keiji Muto. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Yes, I do remember.
Yeah, that was amazing. So, yeah, that's a wild, wild card. And something totally weird came up today, actually, when I was reading the WXW news feed. They were announcing some guys and changing some announcements. And then at the bottom, it said... that there's going to be some wrestlers from Japan coming to Germany in the summer, and it's going to be Ruji Sai and Shinsuke Wakataka from Land's End.
I was about to say, was this another one of his excursions, like when he went to Wales and England?
You know, they actually announced that he's coming to Germany in June to a show which is happening about 60 miles away from me, so a one-hour drive. So I'm definitely going to be in Münster when Ruji Sai and Shinsuke Wakataka are coming.
Is that going to air on WXW now?
I think it's going to be a shotgun taping, which means
some
matches are going to be airing on their weekly show.
Yes, can't wait. Really, really looking forward to that. We can see more Ryoji Sai.
Yeah, that's cool. And he I think he speaks fluent English because he has been, he went to school in England.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I know he has a big connection to England. He lived there for a while. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could talk to him. Maybe you can get an interview.
Maybe. I'll see what I can do here. And then another story that came up yesterday because Ric Flair tweeted about it. Reed Flair died 4 years ago due to what in the wrestling bubble we call demons, I guess.
Yeah.
And, I talked to Chase, who formerly ran the All Japan fan site on the Puro Resso fan network. And we talked about Ric Flair and how that all tied in to Masayuki Yoshida being actually fired from All Japan Pro Wrestling. Chase said, this is nothing that I can't say on here because Chase tweeted about it publicly. So, All Japan was really dedicated at making him ready for WWE. So, Ric Flair was supposed to be in the All Japan dojo for 3 months when he came in. And that's why Masayuki Yoshida, who pushed for the WWE deal with All Japan very, very, very hard, that's why Yoshida didn't get the deal with WWE, because Ric Flair died. It sounds so crazy. And Chase tweeted that was their test and WWE moved on. A lot of talks were happening at the time, Muta Hall of Fame rumors, developmental deal, etc. And basically, the former president of All Japan Pro Wrestling, Nobuo Shiraishi, fired Masayuki Yoshida because he thought Yoshida was weak and blamed him for a lot of things that Yoshida actually tried to correct from Muto. And this all then led to basically Yoshida being fired and also wrestlers splitting from All Japan and so on and so on and so on, and led to the deal we have right now with so many companies and Muto being in Wrestle One and All Japan now being run by Jun Akiyama. And it's just mind blowing how these things tie into something completely unrelated.
Yeah, you know, I two things on that. Like you said, I definitely think it's crazy how something that nobody really talks about or really connects the dots to can have a ripple effect that led to all of those things, can lead to Yoshida getting fired,
yeah,
leading to, you know, All Japan not getting the deal, and even the Wrestle One split, you know? And it's also crazy because, you know, you think that would probably be, with someone like that, that's struggling with those things, you think Japan would be the best place that you would go, as Japan's really harsh on those things, and, you know, it's just a sad situation all around. It's nothing that anybody could help. I feel for Rick. I feel for everybody in the Flair family about all that. And Reed, too, I hope. I hope we can all, you know, anybody that's getting into the business, a second-generation wrestler like that, can really learn, you know, from those experiences. Because I feel really bad for it, but, you know, it's just something that happened. Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Stricker. I'm glad you brought that up this show. I hope everybody takes note of that. I can remember that for a while.
Yeah, definitely. And with All Japan just being the topic, there was an announcement for the next Lionsgate project show that is happening on April 13 from Shinjuku Faced. Lionsgate being the developmental system for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And there's a card which is pretty interesting with a man making his debut in that show by the name of Shota Umino, who is the son of New Japan referee, yep, Red Shoes Uno. Shota Umino, born in 1997, apparently a very tall guy, so guess they are grooming him to be a heavyweight, just like the big boys. I'm gonna get to the big boys later.
yes,
El Desperado versus Hirai Kawato. Then a very interesting match with Gedo and Yado teaming up against Koji Iwamoto and Yuma Aoyagi of All Japan Pro Wrestling. So, what I'm reading into this is that All Japan is taking the spot that the Noah young guys had with Lionsgate when it started.
I just want to point out, I just want to go back to our year-end show this year, and when we talked about predictions for this year, there was a prediction for an August show,
yes,
which would be the 45th anniversary made
exactly
by you.
Yes.
And I just want everybody to keep that in mind, that the blocks, you know, there's smoke to this fire. If you want to look at them.
We already talked about Freedoms, which I really like this guy, and the one thing that I think he doesn't have is size. Because Toru Sugiura is a very, very good wrestler.
Yeah.
In the Freedom
System. Yeah, he is
Freedom
really
system,
good.
And he's getting to wrestle Yoshihashi in a singles match on that show.
That could be really good, actually.
Yep. Then we have Tenkoji wrestling against Ayato Yoshida and Dinosaur Takuma on a New Japan card. That's amazing. And then, in the main event of that show, the big boys play with Yuji Nagata and Tomoyuki Oka wrestling against Manabu Nakanishi and Katsuya Kitamura.
He's clean. That's going to be that whole card looks very interesting, very very fun, very lighthearted, similar to the All Japan Phoenix shows that they had with Big Japan.
Oh yeah, you know, glad you brought that up, because All Japan Phoenix, or AJ Phoenix, of course, is no more. But
no, they have a new brand name.
Yes, they have a new brand name called Growing Up, and they had their first show this past Monday in Shinkiba with a main event that sounds incredibly great. Kento Miyahara, Daisuke Sekimoto, and Kenko Mashimo being a team.
Oh man, that's an amazing tag team. Amazing trio.
Defeated Zeus, Jake Lee, and Ruji Sai when Miyahara pinned Zeus with his shutdown German suplex hold in 37 minutes and 17 seconds.
Zeus go 37. That's what I want to see.
Well, it's a six-man tag, so.
Yeah, that is true. That could be really great. Mashimo, Sekimoto, Miyahara, that's like three of my favorite guys. I love that team.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, much like the Rugrats, All Japan is all grown up now. And and I'm sure that show is just as great as the All Japan Phoenix shows, and just as great as the New Japan shows that we talked about, the New Japan show that we talked about. So I can't wait to see the Lion's Cage.
A lot of things are new in 2017. For example, the All Japan guys getting into the Lion's Gate system, and things are reborn as well. We know that. With Noah being Noah the Reborn in 2017, and they had a show in Yokohama drawing a crowd of 2,504, which looks good on paper. But of course
paper being the key word.
But of course we know that, for example, parents could bring a child for free. And I guess they counted them as well. Still, a good number for Noah, and they really needed that. Which was followed up by another good number in Currican Hall this past Saturday. Main evented by Masa Kitamiya against Kenno. Drawing 927, which doesn't sound that great, but compared to the numbers they were doing before, on weekdays, I might add, 927 is very good, which might tell them something. Just don't run Currican Hall midweek.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of talk came out about this. A lot of people, much like when All Japan did their big number last year in November, because this was a lot bigger than what everybody thought it would be, obviously. But I still think it's good, like whether by hook or crook or papering or whatever, because it has a residual effect, because they put on a really good show, first of all, that's going to allow people that wouldn't have given them a chance because Noah's been so awful for so long, and there was such a dark cloud around the whole promotion, and not just with Suzuki in the last 3 months as they were trying to rebuild. I think this was a definite step in the right direction.
Oh, yeah.
Not just the Yokohama show and what we saw going forward as well.
What did you like from the Yokohama show?
I think everything was good, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I there was nothing that I thought was bad, to be honest, on the show. Even the match with Muto, I thought Moose and Marufuji worked really well together.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say there's that was a good match, but I'd say there's a couple that were in contention for match of the night. I think Kotoge and Edwards had a really strong match together. They went about...
Really?
Yeah, I liked their match a lot. That went 19 minutes or so that they did.
I saw that match when it aired, and to be honest, I didn't really like the match because I thought the match really didn't get going. I saw two wrestlers in the ring both guys were doing some stuff and really working hard, but to me it looked like it didn't really click that well.
Yeah, they had. There was a long feeling out process.
Yep.
I thought
almost half of the match is a feeling out process.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was very long. Yeah, probably 8 or 9 minutes. I think once Kotoge hit that dive on the outside, they kind of turned it up a little bit. He got busted open too at one point. So that's Kotoge's MO at this point. But I liked what they did together. I thought the finishing stretch was really, really good. I liked it. My favorite match on the show was actually the junior title match. I went back and forth on that.
Yep, that was great.
I think this was Kumano's best match ever. I think Ohara, to me, is really standing out as champion. Much like Kotoge in heavyweight, I think Ohara is just as good as the junior heavyweight champion. I think he's been a revelation and a great person to have on these mid-card matches. Someone like Kumano, they really did. They're really doing some good things with Kumano going on. I like his kind of arc that he's going. He's finally, after all these years of, you know, kind of being the young lion, excuse me, they're kind of moving forward with him, and I really like that. And I also thought the main event was really strong. I thought Go really delivered. This was a longish match, but it happens sometimes. I think the main event, you know, Go to me really stood out in that match, I thought. You know, I thought Nakajima, you know, he did good too. He did great in his own way. But Go to me was the one that stood out. I had a little bit of an edge, fired up, you know. But I liked the matches. Even the tag team title match. We got a message on Twitter that was really popular for that. I thought that was a really strong match too. Kenno and Segura, great tag team going forward. I think they're great. And
they're really, really a killer tag team. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of theirs as a tag team. Yeah, they work great together, as I think we all predicted. But even the undercard stuff, I thought was really good. Even like the opener with the six-man tag, a bunch of guys that are kind of random in appearance, but I thought they worked well for their 5 or 6 minute opener. And the junior tag title match, I think Ishimori is very explosive in his role right now. He's doing a great job. Harada and Tadasuke are a really good tag team, too. I'm a big fan of their team. And High 69 did a big dive in this match.
That's what he always does. Yeah, it always looks impressive.
Yes, he definitely, you know, he brought it all out to retain these tag titles. But I think those are two great teams to build around, Harada, Tadasuke, and Hiroki, and Ishimori.
The funny thing about that tag team title match is, of all the guys in the team, now Daisuke Harada is looking the most indie.
Yes, I know.
With Hiroki, he really he changed his gear from his strange indie tights he was wearing, and he got new gear, matching gear with Taiji Ishimori for their double X tag team. But Daisuke Harada, he's just man, I'm so glad that they didn't pull him up to the heavyweights.
Yeah. This is the new Kai I think he's going for here with some of this indie run he's on right now with Reynolds. So, but I thought the work was really good though. Say what you want. I thought him and Tadasuke make a really strong team. And so like I said, that's pretty much every match on the show. Kiyomiya and Storm wasn't bad either. I liked everything on the show. Like I said, I think you could talk about Kotoge, Edwards, the title match. What did you think of the title match in particular with Go and Nakajima?
First of all, next match for the junior heavyweight tag team title is going to be Double X, Ishimori and Hiroki defending against the growing bear, who's still growing.
Yes, he's still growing.
Hitoshi Kumano and Hajime Ohara, who are now teaming together after they had a great match.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned. I really like his story arc that he's got going on with Kumano. Now that he's kind of got a true person that he can go under his wing.
Right.
You know, sort of.
Right. What? Oh.
Whoa. there's a bedlam going on in House Striga right now, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize.
You mentioned Maru Fuji and Moose. Moose,
yeah.
Again, he everywhere he goes, he's over in a minute. Or in an instant.
Yeah,
or in an eyelash. He's incredible. He's a sight to see. And if they can keep him around for a while, for some big matches, I guess, I think he can really be a draw for Noah. And just imagine what's possible with this Noah-Crash-Impact relationship. Maybe they bring in Bobby Lashley. Maybe, for example, they bring in Jeff Cobb.
That would be great.
Right? So
yeah, I would love that. That's definitely, that can solve a heavyweight division really quick and get some new guys in there.
Exactly.
Big fan of both of those guys.
Yeah, you talked about the main event. I thought the main event was pretty good.
I thought Ghost
was a very long chop battle here.
Yeah, they did do that.
Thing I didn't like about the match, the finish was very flat, I thought. There was just the vertical spike, and that was about it.
There
was nothing leading up to the finish. There was no hot finishing sequence. He just did the move, and that was it.
I kind of like that, though, because a lot of matches kind of go with that epic finish now. I thought this was something different, and Nakajima just hit the head kick, vertical spike. There was no real back and forth of big finishers or anything like that. Go put up a big fight for a lot of the match. Like I said, I thought he was more impressive than Nakajima in this match, to be honest with you. But like you said, I can understand why you would think that. But I thought it was nice to see something kind of different, because you know we always see those big finishing runs in title matches.
Yeah, so I guess you can say that.
And does Go need a big back and forth? I like him, but he's Go. I thought it was more effective to put Nakajima over as a strong champion, a strong definitive finish. I've always advocated for a strong champions. I think this was a good way to make it, make him look that way. And Go did good with what he had, but he doesn't need to be getting big pushes right now. He's Go.
He's Go.
I like.
Well, pretty good show for Noah. Did a good house, and this all leads us to the Noah Global Tag League that's starting on April 22nd with some teams that are very well known in Noah, and some teams that are kind of a surprise. The Aggression, Katsuhiko Nakajima and Masaki Tamiya back together. The GHC Tag Team Champions, Takashi Sugiura and Kano. Naomi Chimaru Fuji and Maybach Taniguchi The Reborn. Goshi Ozaki and Atsushi Kotoge, which is a pretty amazing tag team.
Let me stop you right there, Striga. I hate that, as I mentioned, I want to preface this by saying I'm a huge fan of Go as a wrestler. I think he's a great, great wrestler. But that doesn't change his reputation among fans. And as we've always mentioned, me on this show specifically, I really think Kotoge has been the hottest person these first few months. And sticking him with Go is a really dumb idea, in my opinion. Not about work, because I think they're a great tag team. I just think Kotoge doesn't need to be associated with Go, like right now. You don't need to put someone popular with Go. That's a bad idea. To me.
It happened.
it did happen. There's nothing I can do about it, unfortunately. I did make it to Uchida in time to try and call this off, so I apologize. But they should at least have really good matches together. I think that could hurt Kotoge more than help Go. In terms of crowd reaction.
Yeah. Kotoge, you just brought it up. Kotoge recently lost to Eddie Edwards, and
he's lost all his matches.
Well, yeah, but Eddie Edwards also beat Go Shiozaki, so I think that all will lead us to Eddie Edwards getting a title shot against Katsuhiko Nakajima, which should be a pretty good match.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah, we have four other teams. Mohamed Yone and Akitoshi Saito. Saito being in because Quiet Storm is still not 100% after his biceps tear. Then, man, we have the junior dream, the young lion dream tag team, the rookie dream tag team of Kaito Kiyomiya and Takuya Nomura, which really appeared out of the blue, and really nobody really thought about Noah working together with Big Japan or even Nomura getting into Noah. And I think it tweeted out that Takuya Nomura now has worked for 8 or 9 different companies in Japan within the span of 1 year that he has been an active pro wrestler.
The best utility player in wrestling by far, Nomura, because he's all over the place. I love this.
He even worked for Wave and Ice Ribbon.
Yes, he did work for Ice Ribbon. Yes, I saw it as well. He had Wave as well. The guy cannot be stopped. Wherever he goes, great things happen. Uchida doing great things again. Well, every time we bring up Noah, I really like what he's done as the owner. I think a lot of people were negative on Noah because they are, but I've always said that we should give this more time. I think this is a great, if they can get Big Japan back into their fold somehow, and Big Japan working with a lot of different companies, we mentioned it earlier, if they can do that, that's really, really big, in my opinion, because that's where things went wrong with Suzuki.
Right.
They got rid of it.
Noah being isolated, basically.
Exactly. And now Uchida can right these wrongs that has happened in the past. And plus, on top of everything else, even if this doesn't go anywhere, Nomura is a great wrestler, and him and Kiyomiya are a great tag team. Yeah. They have to be an amazing tag team. I can't wait to see. I'm probably going to be watching all of their matches and all of the Kotoge and Go matches of this tournament. And everybody knows, I think a lot of people, especially in the Western world, that these tag leagues, you know, you got to pick and choose sometimes on some of these.
Yeah.
But for those two teams, I'm going to be watching all of their matches.
There are usually some teams in tag leagues. I just watch every match from, just because I really like the team.
And there's like four or five of those teams.
Yeah. So in the end, you end up watching all of the Noah Global.
Yes, I'm probably going to end up watching the whole tournament.
But Dylan, I got a question for you. Are you going to watch the matches from Cody Hall and Randy Rain and from the new bromance, Robbie E and Bram?
First of all, I love there's a lot of confusion over Randy Rain's name. They thought it was Rain, not Rain.
Yeah, I put it into an online translator that is not Google, by the way. gave me Rain, R-A-I-N. But apparently his name is just like Reigns, Roman Reigns' name, just without the S, so he's Randy Rain. I think what I read is that he worked for Pro Wrestling Battle Arts in Canada, so I think he was trained there as well under Santino Marella and Yuki Ishikawa, but I'm not very sure about that.
That would be awesome if he was trained by Ishikawa, especially. I would love that. I'll give them a shot. There's no reason. You know, Cody was actually starting to put things together before he got injured, so it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah, getting a fresh start in Noah now.
Yeah. I think they should. That could be a really fun team, depending on what Rain brings to the table. Robbie and Bram, they're not that similar.
No.
I don't know why Impact sent these two together.
I think Jesse has something else to do.
Yeah, Jesse got he's yeah.
So they just send them.
Well, I like Bram as like when he was more like a hardcore wrestler. He was actually pretty good, but I don't know how he's going to do with this. A lot of people, I've actually talked to a lot of like wrestlers that say Robbie E's really respected as an in-ring worker. So maybe he'll get a chance to show out. And no, he doesn't really do that in TNA much. Impact.
Probably going to watch one or two matches from them just to see how they fare in this environment. So
watch them against all those other teams that we talked about.
Yeah. So we have a road. It's a countdown to the Global Tag League Tour starting on April 11 in Yokohama. They have three great matches on this card in a tiny place that holds 300 people. For example, Takashi Sugiura against Maybach Taniguchi, Nao Michimaro Fuji against Kano, Katsuhiko Nakajima and Masaki Tamiya versus Goshi Ozaki and Atsushi Kotoge. Just throwing it out there in Yokohama.
Sure,
why not? Kurken Hall, April 14, we have the debut of Cody Hall against Goshi. The debut of Cody Hall is actually in Yokohama against Kaito Kiyomiya. But here we have his debut on the big stage on Kurken Hall, Cody Hall against Goshi Ozaki. Also tag team title match, Sugiura and Kano defending against Maro Fuji and Taniguchi. Then some more matches on that card. And I think on the opening day of the Global Tag League, April 22nd, Taichi Ishimori and Hiroki defend the junior tag title against The Growing Bear and Muy Bien.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's...
That should be a lot of fun.
That is Noah.
Wait, one more thing about... Okay. We never talked about this, and I meant to ask you about this, and I always forgot when we talked about Noah. What do you think of Kiyomiya's heel attire? Because he lost the green and had more of an all-black type thing. He's doing a new thing. I miss the green. I like him.
You do?
I like the green.
Actually, yeah. I think the black really adds to his heel turn and his mean streak he has going on.
Yeah, he's shown a great new attitude since he's turned. I want to mention that. He was awesome as a young lion type person, but now that he's more of a heel tag team, or a heel, you know, a heel performer. I think he's done a great job in that. But I like the green trunks, much like when All Japan's Okada eventually ditches the yellow. I'm going to be sad. That's all. I just wanted to throw that out there before we move on. But I miss the green of QBF.
Okay. Yeah, well, no, I'm totally fine with that.
Set the record straight.
Yeah, so the big show of this month was not New Japan Cup final, but the big show of March was DDT Judgment 2017 in Saitama Super Arena, drawing 10,702 fans. And this is something you really have to fathom with this company coming from very small beginnings. You saw they had a great video at the beginning of the show, which played up the history of DDT starting in small places in Tokyo, having their first Korakuen Hall show, I think, in 1999, steadily growing, going to Ryogoku, going to Budokan. They had scenes from Kenny Omega versus Kota Ibushi with Ibushi's famous balcony moonsault, which got Ibushi banned from Budokan. this led up to DDT running the Saitama Super Arena Convention Center in the last years, and now they went to Saitama Super Arena, almost the sacred place of Japanese mixed martial arts, and drawing over 10,000 fans is a real strong accomplishment for DDT.
They deserve all the credit in the world for that. Like you said, they are truly a success story in wrestling. Especially back then, when you have all sorts of random small companies that have come and gone in the time DDT's been around.
Yeah,
and they've made it more than they are the success story of the Japanese indies.
When I was out today, I really thought about Big Japan. Is also around for over 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Big Japan had their success stories with great, great crowds, but they also had their downs. And for DDT, in the last years, it's usually just a great success story, as you mentioned. There are no downs, but just ups.
Yeah, especially lately, they're on a huge hot streak. The last, few years, I would say.
Yeah.
You can't take it away from them.
Yeah, and let me just read the statement from Weekly Pro Wrestling. Our friend Michelle at Purezo Kaiwa tweeted that out. Statement from...
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Love your blog and your translation.
Yeah, definitely. The quote is, DDT's future can't be made by just one person. True to their name, DDT's combined power and their teamwork is their biggest strength. Dreams can come true by the power of a single person can come... can come true when everyone is working together. It can be said that this is the way it has always been for DDT, and they won't change their stance. From now, all their dreams can come true, and they can show not only Japan, but the whole world that they can do. On this day, Takeshita rose to the top of the company. As someone who claimed his dream, he will grasp the baton that has been passed to him and become the embodiment of the dramatic dream. And I really felt that when I watched the main event of that show with Konosuke Takeshita reclaiming the title that he already had once from Harashima, with Harashima hitting him with everything but the kitchen sink.
Not only Harashima here, Takeshita, he started off with a little bit of edge at the start of the match, kind of giving Harashima kind of a look early on when he tried to shake his hand. There was a lot of great legwork from Harashima too in this match. I think this was a very complex match. They tried to tell so many different stories in this match. Like you said, there was a lot going on. Harashima did a lot of moves, including, he used some wild moves like that reverse Frankensteiner from the top.
Yeah.
And that move where
that move
that yeah that move where he recklessly dropped Takeshita on the head.
I watched it a couple of times, and it just looks like Takeshita rolled a little bit out of it, so it doesn't come off as bad if you really look at it, but it still looked bad.
I wanted to ask if it bothered you, because I thought about what you said on the last episode about Hiromu and his dangerous wrestling. Yeah, yeah. This was like way worse than anything
that's true. Yeah,
yeah, like that was crazy. Like that was scary when he did that. But Takeshita also used moves from the guys he'd beaten. Like he used the Kreutz Wrath. The crowd just gave a huge pop when he did the Honda elbow. Yeah,
the Honda elbows. It almost felt like when Kenny Omega was doing all the Bullet Club moves in the G1 finals against Hiroki Goto.
Yeah.
And Takeshita doing the Kreutz Wrath, and Takeshita also, as you mentioned, doing the bionic elbows that his teammate Antonio Honda always uses. And this brief moment and the camera work on that was so perfect when he did the elbows and he looked out to his seconds, to Antonio Honda and Hiroshi Fukuda accompanying him to the ring, and the camera just zoomed on Takeshita's face. He was just smiling because he just gave Honda a shout-out.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool. They had some really cool sequences, too. You know, there was this point where, like I said, Hiroshima, there was a part of the match where he worked on the leg a lot. It kind of got blown off by the end. I'm not gonna lie, but there was a part where Takeshita went for his leg lariat, and Hiroshima countered it into a knee bar. But it was funny because he grabbed the wrong leg, not the one that he was working over. But then he noticed and twisted the other leg into it.
Yeah,
and he like then he transitioned that into like a lasso from El Paso type move.
And yeah,
Takeshita had great selling in that too, because he just kind of had to like he hopped over to the rope. I thought that was really, really good.
Yep.
When he
and everything you mentioned, the leg work, I really loved about this match that everything that Takeshita tried to do in the first half of this match was cut off by Hiroshima grabbing a leg. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. That was just great.
Yeah.
There was so much stuff on this show.
this show was a freaking
if you watch it on DDT Universe, the player will say that the show went 6 hours 34 minutes. And it's what I love about DDT is it is a team effort, as mentioned in the Tokyo Sports article on the Weekly Pro article. They got everybody on this show. And following the main event, of course, this was the big moment for Konosuke Takeshita. But after the challenge was laid down by Sasaki, and after Tetsuya Endo also came out, which was a great moment too, came out with, of course, with Daisuke Sasaki, everybody came out. The announcer mentioned everybody coming out, mentioned everybody's name, and everybody gathered in the ring to celebrate themselves.
Yep. It was the perfect finish to the show.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, like, this is a 20th anniversary show. Right. You know, that was really cool. I thought that was a really cool finish. You know, and even if you look at the part where, even before that, where her, you know, there's a part where, and there's a great photo on Yahoo Sports Japan, where Hiroshima just hands over the title to Takeshita, they're both smiling when he does it.
Oh yeah,
you know, like yeah. So like that, I thought that was a really cool moment. And obviously with everybody coming out at the end, I thought it was the perfect way to finish the night. Really.
Yeah, and the night.
It was a long show.
It was a long show. The night actually started very early. I think 3 p.m. Japanese time. The show started, I think, with a lot of stuff going on in the undercard. There was a DNA offer match. There was a Tokyo Yoshi Pro offer match, which I always watch because you usually don't get to see very much of Tokyo Yoshi Pro. Then there was the Iron Man Heavy Metal title and the King of Dark title Battle Royal celebration of DDT Pro Wrestling launching business 20th anniversary dramatic rumble with
Featuring a huge return.
Yes, Poison Zawada Julie.
Yes, that's exactly who I was thinking of, Julie, the DDT legend.
Oh.
Now, first of all, I want to get into the return that I love. Now, when I was watching this, like I said, this was the very first thing on the show. They played the video first, obviously, but I think this was the first match on the show. It was the Battle Royal, and during it, it was really late when I started watching this. I was kind of, you know, I was just kind of getting warmed up. I was just kind of checking into the show, and suddenly I see a guy that did a lot of shoot style-y things, and I thought, oh, that's a Munenori Sawa impersonator that they've got in there, or something like that. And then I looked at him even more. I was like, that's Sawa. That's him.
That's
like,
what? Munenori Sawa, yeah.
Yeah, like what's he doing here? And every other show, I would have freaked out and be like, whoa, that's Sawa. Like, he's one of my favorite wrestlers. Like, he's an amazing battle arts wrestler. But here, I just thought, oh, that must be some impersonator they've got there for some sort of joke that I don't get or something, but it was the actual Sawa return.
Yeah, he works shows once in a while, coming out of retirement for special occasions.
We got to see the face-off that we were waiting for between Sawa and Ken Oka.
Yeah, but then Guan Chulo cutting it off and eliminating both to win the DDT Iron Man Heavy Metal title. He was trying to run away. But alas, Yoshihiko did a diving body press from the stage, pinning Guan Chulo and becoming the 1,209th champion of the DDT Iron Man Heavy Metal title. And then the actual show started with NWA, the New Wrestling Idols, performing on stage, and they won the six-man tag team title with Mao getting a 450 splash on Yasu Urano, which is a big win for the young guy too. And then next match we had a crazy match with Yagua Yokota, the Yoshi legend, teaming with an 8-year-old in uni alongside Keisuke Ishii and Masahiro Takanashi against Toru Owashi, Katsuki Hirata, Antonio Honda, and Ladybeard. And Dylan, there can't be a bigger heel in pro wrestling than Katsuki Hirata.
I'm so disappointed they keep cutting off his theme song.
Yeah, that too. That too.
Yeah, but you know,
he punched a child.
His interactions with Yuni were very funny. I have to be honest, I was kind of rooting for Hirata.
You monster.
I'm tired of these young punks that are infiltrating wrestling. I'm tired of these kid wrestlers around. But no, Yuni, you know, it's funny because also, you know, Ladybeard was involved in this match as well. So I think this was really a great, like, if you've never seen DDT before, this is DDT. This is what DDT is all about.
This is the embodiment of what DDT is all about.
I also want to point out, I also want to shout out Ishii real quick, because I'm quickly becoming a huge fan of his, just as a wrestler, even though he's kind of the normal guy in the nut house in this match.
Yeah, between the eight-man tag just mentioned and the Ishii match, there were two title changes, of course, because Kotatsu was back, the table was back that landed on Yoshihiko to become the new champion. And then Joey Ryan beat Kotatsu to become the new champion. Then we had the Shigehiro Ishii return special singles match.
I meant Keisuke Ishii that I was talking about. I'm becoming a big fan of his as a singles wrestler. He was in the other match.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I wanted to shout him out. But Iri's a great wrestler as well.
All those names on this card, I'm sorry.
Ishii, Iri. Yeah. But no, Iri also a great wrestler. What did you think of this match?
I really loved that match because they were going full force straight from the beginning. They did a handshake and they also stared at each other and just not letting go of the handshake. And then they really went out full force and did everything. And Iri was going for the test mission a couple of times in this match. When he finally went for the test mission, he really, really did a great transition into the move onto the ground. That looked really great.
Yeah, I noted that too. That's exactly what I noted. The finish looked great with Erie here. And like I said, I'm a big fan of his. He's going worldwide, you know, in the past year or so. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see him in DDT. He's been around for a while now. He had a great title match with Hiroshima in December. So like I said, I'm looking forward to more of him. I think he is the guy I think they could build up and build around to be a big title defense if they play their cards right. He's around enough.
Yep, definitely. And I really would like to see Irio once again becoming the KOD Openweight Champion.
Just, great system.
Yeah, yeah. Next match up was a very smart thing to do, I thought. It was labeled Super Yoshi Pro Wars 2017. Saki Akai, Meiko Satomura, and Shoko Nakajima. They defeated Aja Kong, Cherry, and Mio Yamashita with a death belly bomb from Satomura on Yamashita. And very smart because they brought in Satomura and Aja Kong to continue their feud, but also to shine a light on the other women's wrestlers in this match who mostly compete for Tokyo Yoshi Pro.
The 17-year-long feud between Satomura and Kong that continues. But no, it is a legendary feud. Like you said, it shined a light on some of the Tokyo Yoshi Pro girls here, and I thought they did pretty good. You know, all things considered, I think Satomura obviously on another level, you know, but they didn't hurt, you know, they didn't embarrass themselves out there. They looked pretty good.
Yeah, what I noted here too was Aja Kong was bumping like crazy in this match.
Yeah, and she was also, she was dealing it out though on Nakajima with some of those backdrops.
Yes. You know, it's just a random six-man tag on an undercard on the DDT show and Aja Kong is taking bumps. She just doesn't have to do that anymore, but she does.
Yeah, she did. You're totally right there. That is very good. I thought Cherry had a lot of energy to, you know, she brought a lot to the table there. I thought she did good. So really, like I said, pretty fine little match there.
As I was saying, taking bumps. Shungo Oyama, former Pride fighter.
Yeah.
They had a video package of him in front of Saitama Super Arena talking about his accomplishments in mixed martial arts. He teamed with Kudo, taking on Yoshihiro Takayama and Dick Togo, and he really took a beating. Man!
Yes, he did.
Straight chair shot to the head, just in the beginning, at the beginning of the match from Dick Togo. Dick Togo showing him, this is pro wrestling!
Yeah.
And he just, man, the Everest German suplex he took, that looked crazy.
Yeah, you know, Takayama, he's kind of older these days. He plays an uncle on a TV drama in Japan these days, My House. You know, but he still can bring the pain when necessarily on here. So, you know, how do you think his interactions with Oyama went?
Yeah, I really liked when they were trying to recreate Takayama and Don Fry. And when they did that, I immediately thought, how great would it be if DDT can set up something with Takayama and Don Fry?
I know. That would be great. You could have Takayama and Higuchi versus Fry and Oyama.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, God. Yes, so nice little tag match here. Then we got this crazy thing with Donald Trump coming out.
Yeah, Donald Trump, yes.
And we got a PowerPoint from Donald Trump basically explaining he bought DNA DDT and now he's in charge. And yeah, if you want a summary of that, go to dramaticddt.wordpress.com or just watch the entire thing on DDT Universe. We just don't have to recap anything because
Don't watch it.
Sazadango Machine did everything in English, so you can understand it.
That is true. That's the part you should watch.
Yeah, and I thought his English was pretty good.
Yeah, no,
I don't know if Michelle had a hand in here because she's an English teacher in Japan. Maybe?
I thought that was the real Donald Trump. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry.
I thought that was the president. We saw you.
the president, and during that match, they had a translator in Guanchulo translating everything that was said in English, and both in English and Japanese.
Tried to start a holy shit chant at one point.
Yeah, the match itself, you know.
So please don't watch
it. It was what it was.
Basically. Don't encourage anyone to watch this match.
DDT for the KOD Tag Team Title, Masakatsu Funaki and Yukio Sakaguchi. They defended against Shuji Ishikawa and Tetsuya Endo. What did you think about that?
Oh, that was pretty good. Way better than what we just saw that preceded.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the shooter guys, the middle-aged shooter guys. Funaki and Sakaguchi. I think Sakaguchi's really stood out in, you know, these last few months. I thought he's doing some of his best work lately in these tag team settings. I thought they did good too, and I was surprised because I feel like of the Damnation guys, I think Endo and Sasaki are a great team, along with Ishikawa and Sasaki are also a great team. And then you put Endo and Ishikawa together, and they were pretty good too, but I thought they were missing a little bit without Sasaki there. And I was very surprised that the big dog took the fall in this match.
Yeah, very definitive victory here for Sakaguchi. Who
the right knee of God.
Yeah,
he
hit the Kami no Migi Hisa, the regular one, and then he hit the one from the top rope and got the pinfall, right.
That was great, but I was surprised that it was Ishikawa that took the fall here. I think they're definitely getting behind Sakaguchi. As I said, I think it's a smart move. I think him and Ishikawa could have a banger.
Yes.
As a single.
And simultaneously, of course, protecting Tetsuya Endo.
Yes, that's true. Keeping Endo strong as well. Like I said, I liked everything about this match, really. I thought it was really good stuff, actually. Probably my second favorite match of the night, besides the main event.
Next up, we had the Shibuza Wako 35th Anniversary Memorial Nobunaga no Oneo Oretachi no Sengoku Sengoku Bushu match with a 6-man tag match with Keiji Muto, Sanshiro Takagi and Isami Kodaka playing the roles of Hideyoshi Toyotomi, Shingen Takeda and Yukimura Sanada against Kota Ibushi, Jun Akiyama and Daisuke Sekimoto playing the roles of Nobunaga Oda, Kenshin Uesugi and Katsui Shibata. They were all dressed as warriors, as Sengokus, as warriors.
Yes. You know, the samurai warriors' outfits they wore were similar, but all different colors. Yes. There were actresses around in this match. A lot of things. I will say this though. Also, all of these are like actual samurai guys. By the way, they are real people. They're not just like video game characters. As some people speculated on the dynasty.
No. They are based on real people. Yeah.
Yes. They were real samurais and stuff like that. Oda war type
right.
person.
The for example, the Hideyoshi Toyotomi character, former Osaka Pro wrestler Hideyoshi, the gimmick that he had in Osaka Pro was based on this samurai.
Yes, I thought Takagi was just tributing Hideyoshi. But no. Like a lot of these guys are, like I said, all these guys are real guys from like the 1500s, the 1600s, when the samurais were still
very prevalent. And Isami Kodaka being in this is pretty special because the Basara, the entire Basara name, is also based on these 1500s, 1600s samurai history.
I also think it's great that Oda, Ibushi's character, he was kind of the boss. Like when, you know, Shibata, Sekimoto's character, they served under Oda in real life, and Ibushi was teaming with them together. I will say Sekimoto looked very lost in this match with a lot of... very, very out of place, and I don't blame him at all.
But I really love when in the beginning they had the giant pile of chairs they always have in matches with Takagi, and when Sekimoto almost ran into it, but really stopped just a couple of inches... Or just even 1 inch before hitting the chairs. That was great.
No. But after that, there wasn't a lot of samurai stuff in this match, though, until kind of the end. They brought out the sword a little bit.
Yeah, the most amazing scene they had in this match was when Isami Kodaka brought in a chair. Mm-hmm. Keiji Muto sat down on the chair. Jun Akiyama had a sword.
Yeah, yes, I did notice that.
highly symbolic.
Yeah, definitely symbolic there. But I wanted to see like a samurai stare down with like Sekimoto and, you know, Kodaka battling with swords or something like that. But we did get that little moment, and this was just kind of a crazy. But the thing is, they were just kind of wrestling as themselves, dressed as these samurai legends.
Yeah.
You know, like Ibushi still did the Phoenix Splash at the end.
The Triangle Moonsault, yeah.
Yeah, Akiyama did the Exploder, and Muto no-sold it into the Shining Wizard. And I'm sure that, you know, Kenshin Yusugi actually did the Exploder in his time as a samurai. But, I can't confirm this. We need some Japanese history buffs. You know, maybe someone who lives there can help us out. Which samurais did wrestling moves. But it was just a kind of a wild and breezy kind of match. Fun match.
Very fun. And very fun as well was the semi-main event. Something completely different on this card, because Daisuke Sasaki and Jun Kasai really had a fun hardcore match. And they did some crazy stuff as well, mostly involving the ladders.
First of all, the main thing that stood out to me at this, and something I could imagine right away, was what about Kasai's nose?
Yeah, I really didn't catch when he really busted his nose so badly.
It was bad.
I went back and tried to really catch the moment it happened, but I really wasn't able to. To get the exact moment. So for me, watching the match, out of the blue, he was bleeding very, very badly from his nose.
Yeah. And the crowd, this didn't connect that much as the last match.
No.
That's surprising, because you think Sasaki, he's like super over with the crowd, very, very charismatic, you know, really good guy, but the crowd just didn't take to it. I didn't think, but it was a hardcore type match. It was definitely an extreme match. It's great that Sasaki gets to main event or semi main event of this big show. I'm a fan of Sasaki in a lot of ways, but this was more of a hardcore match, not necessarily an all the way death match, even though Kasai knows may tell you otherwise.
Yeah,
if you look at it.
But yeah, they used this construction site fence, if you know what I mean.
This giant
fence, they brought it out, and they did a Russian leg sweep to the outside once, and then they also brought it in to what I think should have been the finish, because Jun Kasai was pretty much buried inside a ladder onto the construction fence, and Daisuke Sasaki did an elbow drop from the top of a ladder onto another ladder, which had the construction site fence on top of it. That looked nasty.
That hurt. Yeah, that definitely looked like it hurt.
Oh, damn it. But then they brought out an even bigger ladder, and he did an elbow drop through a table onto Kasai and won the extreme title. Good match, yeah.
If it was some sort of test for Sasaki to see for him to do a Jun Kasai match, he did it.
He definitely did it. So from top to bottom, this, I thought, was a very, very fun show. A long show, but this show, in comparison to other shows that were shorter, it didn't drag.
No. The only part was with the Joey Ryan and Dino thing. If they cut that out, I would have liked this. I'm not gonna forget about that when it comes to worst of the year, worst match of the year. That, you know, quote this moment, put it in stone. That's coming up. If we do that, I will definitely make sure to be voting for that in all sorts of awards that I can find.
Yeah. So. Overall,
but everything else was pretty good. I liked a lot on this show.
Yes. Overall, a great, great show from DDT. If you want to see what DDT is all about, really the essence of DDT, this is it. You get everything from the entire DDT universe. Maybe not so much Gunbare Pro. You got Ken Oka, but not Not, for example, the other strange gimmicks. Gunbarer Pro is always running. For example, do we have when Gunbarer Pro runs? Wait a sec, I get it. Gotta check out a card with those guys. For example, Tano Musaku Toba recently returned to Gunbarer Pro, or they have the Space Galaxy Warrior Andros from Secret Base and all that crazy stuff. The Mars Spectre is on shows from Gunbarer Pro frequently. So they didn't feature that, but mostly everything from the DDT universe was there. Basara in form of Isami Kodaka, Toki Yoshi Pro, DNA, everything was on here. So if you want to check that out, DDTUniverse.com, it's 900 yen a month, which is something around $7, I think, $7-$8.
Yeah.
If you want to check that out, it's really worth it.
Space Galaxy Warrior Andros was missed for this show. I will say that.
Yes.
Right, so he's the Red Space Ranger from Power Rangers in Space.
I hope so.
We missed all of those guys on this show, but other than that, it was a great show.
I want to quickly bring in that there is also a guy in the promotion. What's it called? Secret Base.
Yes, Secret Base. How could you forget that?
Who is the Space Galaxy Mechanician Paul?
Oh, Paul.
Paul. So, just throwing that out there with the Secret Base, yeah.
We need more Secret Base coverage and podcasting.
Oh, yeah. We need more shows from Secret Base, which could maybe replace our coverage of Duff Pro if I'm reading into your reviews of Duff Pro.
Listen, the Secret Base shows are secret. They're not easy to find.
I'm sorry, yeah.
That's all. You have to understand what Secret Base is all about. They're not just showing off for everybody.
No. But yeah, I think we covered the bases we wanted to cover on this episode. Dylan, thank you for sharing pro wrestling love with me again here on this show, the Eastern Lariat. Where can people find you outside of this podcast?
Yeah, you know, you can find me on Twitter at DylanZero, the number 0615. Also, make sure to listen to my other podcast I do on the MLW Radio Network, the Lucha Talk Podcast. We've had a lot of growth on that show since we started back in September. And so really check that out if you're a fan of Lucha Libre, you want to learn more about it. Also, check out ProWrestlingSpirit.net if you want great coverage of Japanese pro wrestling and news and all that stuff. Striga, where can they find you?
Yeah, before I get my plugs in, I want to say I'm not as much as a fan of Lucha Libre as you, Alfredo, and Liger Fever are, but I frequently listen to your show and take your recommendations, and I'm going to check out the CMLL recommendations you put out recently.
So, yes, you should be happy listening to our show then, because we're always negative on a lot of Lucha Libre. it's funny because I wanted to plug my recent speaking of Lucha Libre, I made a recent appearance on the Psychology is Dead podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Place to Be Nation. Me and Quentin Moody, we talked about Lucha Libre psychology, because a lot of people say there is no psychology in Lucha Libre, but that's not true. I proved it on that podcast.
Don't listen to those people.
Yeah, exactly. They're lying to you. But
it's just very different from what we are used to see.
It's not the same as in Japanese pro wrestling. But like I said, me and a lot of other guys, Rob Viper, and a lot of people are on there. And you know, speaking of Lucha Talk, just to round it all about, before the show, we had a chat, a discussion. And he mentioned on the show before we recorded that he praised AAA but buried CMLL, which is a rarity. Oh. And I responded by saying, well, on our show, we buried AAA at CMLL. So that's the kind of cover. But when stuff is good, and there was some good stuff, like I said, at CMLL recently, there was actually a few good things this week. So really check those things out. Hype up the Dragon Lee and Diablo Roja lightning match, at least 6 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Really I watched the last weekend, I watched the Negro Casas and Angel de Oro lightning match. That was very good too.
Yeah, that was a really good match too. They had a we actually brought that up this week. They had a recent square off in a trios match together. Oh, they have a lot of good chemistry. What are you doing before we get to your plugs? Make sure that nobody listens to your plugs. I don't want anyone to find you, much like Secret Base. But I wanted to ask you before we go. There is one more thing I wanted to ask you. That is, what are you going to be doing on the big weekend that we know as that the show is coming out, the WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, I'm actually not sure yet.
Will you be watching WrestleMania?
No. Yeah. Yes, I'm watching, but I'm not watching live because, of course, as a teacher, I have to work on Mondays.
you're not staying up till 5 a.m. to watch.
And of
this
course, WrestleMania is about 128 hours long.
Yeah, this is it's longer than this DDT show.
So I was choosing and picking. I watched some WWE recently. I watched this past week's SmackDown, but I just don't have that much time for WWE, and because I know that the product isn't for me anymore. I'm not saying it is bad. I'm not saying it is very good. I'm just saying I just can accept that the vast majority of WWE programming is just not for me, and that's why I'm not into it very much. So I'm not very hyped. I'm going to watch some of the stuff because it just is the biggest show of the year in every sense, and that's about it.
It's the ultimate thrill ride, as they'll tell you on Raw.
Yeah.
I will also mention that I plan to do on my YouTube page, Dylan Zero, if you want to look that up. I was going to review weekly shows from WWE, and that lasted 1 week before I had to slow down a little bit. I had to pace myself too much, but I will be doing previews and audio previews on my YouTube page of both WrestleMania and the NXT TakeOver show on Saturday. I'll probably be putting those up. Well, they'll be up by the time this show goes up. So check those out as well. I just wanted to mention that briefly. Will I watch WrestleMania? Like you said, I feel like it's almost like they have me at gunpoint where I have to, especially with their free network dealie that they sent me an email about. So thank you for the 3 months free of the network. I appreciate that. And it got me to watch WrestleMania. And I think if I pick and choose on, you know, if I chose what I wanted to watch, I'd end up with, like, you know, 20 minutes of that 7-hour show. But, well, I will give it a fair shot. We will give it a fair shake. And we'll see how that goes. But where can everybody find you online, Striga?
Yeah, of course, on Twitter as well, at Striga, STRIGGA. You can find me on ProLove.com, where I post wild cards like the one we went over early in the show with Fumiko Uwai. I post Kyushu Pro results. I post results from all kinds of companies, like I have to get into Heat Up again and Osaka Pro and Big Japan, of course, and Super Fireworks and all that stuff. And all that stuff you can also find on cagematch.net. No pictures, but very, very many shows and profiles on there.
Do you still get complaints about that, not having pictures anymore?
I don't think so. We are getting that anymore. But
good. It's a great website. The pictures are superficial. The information is what's important. A cage match.
Yeah.
I still go down.
Something. Yeah. Well, it's about the design as well, and the pictures added a lot to be honest, but. Things just don't work out. That's just the way it's going to be.
It's all your fault. It's all your fault.
Yeah.
You were responsible.
I'm very sorry about that, but no, I'm not.
I'm kidding.
So, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please consider rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our feed on the individual feeds we have. Dylan, thank you also for doing the show again. Was always it's always a pleasure talking wrestling with you. And from the two of us, this has been the Eastern Lariat. Goodbye.
Sayonara.
Streaming worldwide. This is the NLWRadio.com network.